Get ready for an uplifting experience with Coached Soul. Join us as we bring you the dynamic duo of Steve Hudgens, a licensed professional counselor, and Kenya Evelyn, a transformational leadership coach. Together, they'll guide you through engaging episodes filled with valuable insights and actionable tips on mental health, relationships, self-care, emotional well-being, and personal growth. Coached Soul is your go-to podcast for empowering discussions that will help you thrive. So let's get started and welcome our hosts, Steve and Kenya.
All right, welcome back. And Kenya, you know, like I said earlier, I got that 80s pop music going on my head, the lady in red. I mean, you just pop with that blonde hair of yours, you know. And I am just...
So happy to be here.
Yes. And like I shared, it's that lady in red that popped in my mind, and I call that a trigger. How often do we have triggers in our relationship?
Oh my goodness. Really all the time. And yet, and I really am excited to go deeper into this, trigger can show up as an invitation to get sucked in or as an invitation to be aware that something is there. So because you felt the trigger coming doesn't mean you go all in. Right.
You know, that's one of the things I've been working on this week with couples. It is the fact of triggers. It's interesting because I talk to my couples and I ask them, well, what's not working for you? Well, we're not communicating. And I share with them, well, we are communicating. We're just not communicating effectively like when we first started dating. And I equate that to, you know, pardon the expression, plaque on your teeth. Resentment builds over time on emotion. And I shared with him that because what happens is the triggers, we trip on the hidden landmines of each individual perspective that comes into the relationship. Sometimes the man or the woman, depending on the situation, can cause a trigger. It could be a tone in the voice. It could be the way they looked, the anger. However, that frustration could be a trigger for them that they don't remember as a kid of a disappointment. Or, in my case, not being heard. And, you know, I'm gonna share this with you, and then I've got a story I can share with the audience as in regard to how to identify a trigger.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, triggers are like trauma hunting. You don't really want to go there and identify it.
Okay.
When they show up, you be with it. You be with it and say, well, where is this coming from? Right? And this is how you and I do so brilliantly in our sessions, really bring the person's like, okay, is this the first time that came to your awareness? And the odds are it has been there the entire life, usually between 0 to 8, 0 to 7. Some people would say it's just the same recurring frequency, if you will, information that it got coded in you and you accept it as true, right? So the question really is, do I know who I am right now? And am I aware of how do I want to continue to become in my own eyes versus waiting for Steve to tell me I'm beautiful? Like if I know that I am beautiful, even without any lip gloss or brushing my hair, if you say, gosh, you're ugly, it's not going to hit me because I know I'm beautiful. But if I had a childhood wound that I went to school and my hair was all messy and everybody ugly, 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 as soon as you say that, I'm back. Because I coded that I'm beautiful when somebody tells me that I am beautiful versus I'm feeling it for myself.
And it's that consciousness awareness. You know, we want to get into a faith-based series later on in our podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I'm referencing to this is the fact that when I read scripture, it talks about renewing your mind on a daily basis.
Yes.
And I equate that to we take showers. Well, most of us, I hope we take showers every day. And if you don't, please do. It'd be kind to those that are around you. But when I think about cleaning in the shower, we're removing the dirt from the flesh, the germs and the such. Well, we don't do that in our mind. And our mind gets filled with negativity, whether it's social media that says, hey, you're not a man unless you're built tough. You're not a woman unless you wear some hair color. It's that what you don't have comment that this is what you need to become. And so when I think about these hidden messages and the negativity that becomes with us, and then we get stressed, we get tired, we don't feel like we're enough. So it's interesting to see that having to recognize the negative information that imparts on us. Renewing of the mind means how do we get rid of that? And sometimes meditation works to help flush that out. What do you do to help yourself get rid of these type of things in your life, and so you focus on renewing your mind?
I love this question so much, and I love that you attach that to when you go to spend time with God, because I feel that everyone that I speak with, they know that there is a higher force out there and they feel it, and then my call is something else. But I don't think that something else than God. But I have not seen that we have been trained to lean on that support. To lean on the unseen support. When you say, Kenny, what do you do to clear your mind? Honestly, I notice in my body, when my body start contracting, I know it's not just something in the air, it's something I'm thinking or believing that some negativity that got caught in, that got caught into the web, if you will. And sometimes I get short with the kids, and you've seen a couple times, or maybe more than a couple times. Frustration and things like that. And it's so easy to transfer to them because they didn't do the right thing. The truth is, if my container, if my body, if my spirit, if my mind is open, I can hold more. I can hold more. I can hold more energy. I can hold more information with all the colors, green, blue, bad, good. No, I don't want to hold bad information. It's not that I want, oh, give it to me. Just give me the energy. I'll hold you. No, but I will not. I can alchemize. I can transmute. I can. And the way I do that is noticing and breathing and remembering that I'm not doing it this by myself, but I am using my brain, my beautiful mind, and my heart, magnetic heart, to call it in what I want more of. I mean, we've talked about this right before we hit record. You said, well, I don't talk to myself, okay, or else I will be called crazy. I said, well, I guess I'm crazy because I talk to myself all the time. I call my angels. Hey, I need support right now. And sometimes I say out loud, I don't know what's going on, but I'm really feeling heavy, literally a heavy wave of energies. I breathe. I really focus on my breath. I meditate. I talk to my water. I tell my water what I want it to do for me. Like, literally, I talk to my water. I'm hydrating right now. I need it to go to every cell and fill them up. So we have a great day. I talk. I talk because it's all living things.
And part of renewing your mind is talking. It is processing. So when I talk to the couples, I help them to look at, well, wait a minute. We got here because we're tripping on hidden landmines that's causing the resentments that come out that we've been holding on to. And oftentimes it gets projected. And so I call these, child wounds that get triggered. Well, mine got triggered the other day. Well, wait a minute, Steve, you're a professional. You're supposed to have this. You're supposed to have all the answers. You're supposed
Who
to
says that?
be
Who says that?
right.
No, really, who says that?
You know,
Honestly,
it's no, it's
it's
interesting
a
because
part of us, a part of
yes.
you is judging the fact that, oh, I'm supposed to get this. This is so beautiful that we're doing this vulnerability session here. I go through the same thing. when I notice that I'm judging me because I'm supposed to know better, I'm like, no, that is the beauty of the human experience.
And
the fact that you had the awareness of it.
Yeah. But I also push back on my clients that want to elevate me. And I'm like, please don't elevate me. I'm a human being. And we talked about, you know, what are some triggers? And I said, well, Friday of last week, I really got triggered. I had gone to the VA and had gone upstairs to meet with my endocrinologist to make sure that we're being proactive, that, you know, I don't have a return. I'm going on 5.5 years strong of no cancer. So we want to be proactive about my health and things of that nature. So I walk in, she's asking, you know, the nurses, well, before I bring the MD in, how are you feeling? And I said, I'm feeling a little tough right now. I've got some pain in my flank, and I had a little small fever. I'm just not feeling too good. So I had a very small, minute warmth to myself. And she says, okay, let me get the provider. The provider comes in. No mask, no nothing. We'll get to that part. I just gave you a leeway of what could happen here. So as we're, you know, going through my stuff, 45 minutes into all this, she says, won't you go down the stairs to your walk-in clinic? Talk to them, say that you want your blood drawn to make sure we're not getting a bacterial infection that almost killed you 2 years ago. So I said, sure, I'll do this. So I walk downstairs, unmasked in the VA, do a check-in. What are your symptoms? I told them, let me get the nurse. I go sit in the lobby and I wait 15 minutes. Unmasked nurse comes out. Hey, I know you. We started talking. What's your symptoms? I tell them. They go back. Another LPN comes out another 20 minutes later. Says, let's go back. She forgot her badge. This is the second time she forgot her badge because I've been observing the lobby. So she forgot her badge again. We get in. She takes my vitals, takes my weight. What are your symptoms? I tell you, she comes back in with a mask on and a COVID test. And because of trauma in my own past, I don't like mask because it reminds me of suffocation. And so I said, I am not COVID positive. I said, I just saw an MD doctor. Hospital policy is to put a mask on if the patient is susceptible or thought of as having COVID. I've sat in this lobby for nearly an hour. I've been here for an hour and a half. I don't like this. All I want is a blood drawn. We're not going to get your blood drawn till you have the COVID. I said, wait a minute, you're going to deny me health care unless I am forced to take the COVID. Correct. I said, I'm done. I walked out feeling unheard. That was a trigger for me. But what I failed to say is I have a friend who is in the medical field that was with me. And if that person thought I was COVID positive, they wouldn't be around me because they'd be working around other people in the hospital.
Yeah, of course.
So there's my witness. So when I filed my patient advocacy report for misdiagnosis and falsifying documentation, meaning that the nurse practitioner who I never saw, the provider, writes in my note that I refuse to get my blood drawn in the exam room, I'm livid. So my patient advocate in the VA didn't hear me either. So I called the senator, and I'm waiting for the senator to give me a call back to investigate the VA for improper handling of my health care. So there's two things going on here with me. The feeling of not being heard. And I said, Steve, I got to take a deep breath. Calm yourself down. Where's this stemming from? Oh my gosh. It's when I was a kid or a teenager trying to find my head on the side of the road somewhere because I got slapped off for back talking, right? Or you're a child, you'll be seen, not heard. Or I get smacked across the face because I'm back talking, but I'm just trying to explain. Or, we don't want to hear it. Go to your room. Those are some mother father wounds that I grew up on. And I had to remind myself, I'm an adult. I'm not a child anymore. I can be heard. I just have to find the right avenues to be heard. And I've shared this with a couple of couples because they are having difficulty identifying their trigger points. But if I didn't identify this, Kenya, and I'm already agitated, let's say, because I didn't process this, and you say something to me, or I say something to you inadvertently, but you weren't hearing me because you were busy. I didn't know that. I didn't have your full attention. So no fault of your own. But if I say something and it's ignored, guess what it does to me?
It reinforces.
It reinforces that I'm not being heard, even though there was nothing that you did wrong. And that's what happens in our relationships sometimes, is that I would get butt hurt more because Kenya wasn't listening to me. Now I'm letting that come out, my little inner child come out, and I'm throwing my tantrum against Kenya when Kenya was innocent. And this is how hurt people hurt people.
100%. What's coming up for me is leadership.
Sure.
What's coming up for me is, I remember when I was, you know, learning deep dive into leadership, and I had a friction, right, in my process of becoming a transformational coach. And one of the coaches there, she was like, you know, Kenya, you're just like saying, I don't feel seen, I don't feel heard, I don't feel seen, I don't feel seen. Which area in your life are you not seeing yourself? Which area in your life, where in your life are you not hearing the screaming of your soul, your desires, and now it's projected? Because let me tell you something. Yes, those are childhood wounds. And I say, it's not that they're always going to be there. I actually don't believe that they're always going to be there. Yes, it's contradictory. I know, I know, I know, I know. Bear with me, I promise. It's because just like the cells in your body comes in and out, the frequency comes in and out. And I'm not saying you're going to forget, you're not going to have an amnesia, but you won't get triggered.
Right.
So you're still going to have the memories, but I do believe that over time, in our becoming, in our energetic shift into victim and blame, into powerful, creative, godly beings, into leaders, into, yes, I am here and my legacy might be me and myself or me and my child. It doesn't need to be, transforming the world. But when you see yourself, wow, oof, where in my life am I not being seen? And immediately I knew what it was. You know, yes, becoming a coach, it landed in my lap. It was never a dream. It was never a thing for me, even though in Brazil, I did music therapy. So yes, therapy and being with people and promoting expansion has always been something in my heart. But it turns out that I'm really good with people's blind spots. Mm-hmm. It's a gift. I actually see like 3D shapes and I can tell you where to go. If you want to listen, if you have a childhood wound of she's telling me what to do. Now, I will never tell you what to do because as a coach, we don't tell you what to do, right? We guide you to see your shadows. Right. So you can see for yourself. When you see for yourself, then you're at choice point. What do you want to create? So back to you, Stephen. Thank you for bringing this example. And it happens with me, right? It happens with us all the time. Where in your life are you not being heard? Which parts of Steve have not come now forth? That's screaming at you because what's manifested outside, it's happening inside always.
You know, I appreciate that question, Kenya, because when I digested or went back to reprocess, it is a wound, but I'm more aware of the wound. And I think being aware is important. It's vital to who you are so that you are cognizant of not hurting another individual through that process. So for me, I do feel hurt because I also surround myself with people who are positive support systems, such as yourself, I would talk to.
Yes, absolutely.
And I know I'm being hurt.
But is that a part
It's
of you? Listen, is that a part of you? And let me talk to me. Let me
sure.
shift the attention to me. When this happened in leadership, and it was a deep thing, like I felt this heavy, like, oh my gosh, where in my area? It was music. Wow, I am not hearing the screaming of my soul that you get to create both and. You get to create being a mother and being a coach and being a mentor and a music therapist or whatever titles, it doesn't matter. But you don't forget your voice. You've got to sing. You've got to be sing. You get to see yourself in that light of possibility. I was not seeing myself in the light of possibility. Therefore, I was denying something that my soul was screaming. Hey, you're telling the world that they need to hear you, they need to hear you, they need to see you, and you're not seeing this shadow over here screaming.
Right.
So when resentment comes in couples, and it's happening with a couple right now, yeah, they're holding on to things that happened 10 years ago, right? Every now and then shows up, every now and then shows up. And then, of course, in one of the sessions, like, I understand that that is something that happened within the relationship. Bear with me. Has this happened before, even before you met him? And 10 times out of 10 is yes.
That's where the awareness should come in. And when I think about being heard, I had to talk to my own self. And if I didn't listen to myself, then I'm not hearing myself. And so I'm re-triggering my own wound again.
100%.
And so by recognizing this was a wound and having to stop and think, wait a minute, Steve, you're not in a black box anymore. You have some light here to go to in your own thinking process that you have a friend who's in the medical field that agrees with you. And it's just shifting that focus on what we don't have, because that's what the trigger does. It focuses on what we don't have
Yes.
to shifting it to what do we do have and empowering ourselves with the tools that we do have. It can help minimize the casualties around us from our wounds.
100%.
And so as I go through this process, it's realizing that although I, when confronted about my past, it's being denied. Well, if you would only listen to us, that wouldn't have happened. We love you, so we want to discipline you. And so when I think about that, I'm going to chase a rabbit real quick. In faith-based, we hear Proverbs, and probably out in society, we hear spare the rod, we spoil the child. And when I say that expression, many have told me, because I've asked, what does that mean to you? Well, it's discipline, punishment, consequence. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute.
I hear guidance.
Yes, Psalms 23, your rod and staff comfort me.
Well, the staff just it has a hook, right? So
It rescues.
it keeps safe.
Yes.
It keeps it together. Like, no, it's right here, honey. It's right
And
here.
the other end of that staff is to poke, to defend, to hit whatever's going to attack. But a rod taps that sheep over to say, hey, get over just a little bit more. Stay away from that grass over here. There's danger. So to spare the rod and spoil a child is if I withhold guidance and instruction to my child, they're going to be spoiled. And so when you apply that to your trigger inner child wound, if I don't apply guidance, let's say therapy, because many think that therapy is taboo, that therapy is a bunch of voodoo. It's not for those who are strong. When you realize there's a weak moment within you, then you become strong. And when you talk to somebody in your therapy, I've had 3 grown men cry this week.
It's beautiful.
It is. And it's like, go you, man, because you're recognizing some pain that we're removing out of this therapy.
He's finally feeling.
And it's not about being weak. When we talk about, so I talked about my weakness here of a trigger that just happened, but it became a source of strength for me.
100%.
Because I spoke about it. Not to glorify or gloat into what I've done. It's more of how do we learn from each other if we don't talk about what we've been through and how to get through it and how to be proactive so it doesn't happen again. And if we were able to be able to hold that safe place for one another, men, your woman's not going to connect with you if you're being reactive to her emotion.
And vice versa.
And yes.
Yeah. Reactivity is a real thing.
Right.
Because we are listening, responding, or reacting. Very different.
Say that one more time.
You're listening, responding, or reacting.
Now help our listeners to flush that out. What does that look like?
Well, if I'm reacting, it's the spit. Blah, right? You go downstairs and something's off and you start screaming because something's off. That's reacting, like trigger reaction. If it happens via conversation and you allow yourself to listen, now you're training your brain to, that this is why I say when you're talking to people that could be triggering, be drinking something, be munching something, because if you're you actually can react immediately. I mean, you can always react, but literally train yourself to listen, because maybe, just maybe, if you listen, now you can respond with clarity. Not listen to think like what's your defense words are going to be. It's not it. Listen to understand. It's very different. Most people just say, are you responding or reacting? It's like, no, there's 3. And that's something that came to me in meditation when I was in a really hard spot with my husband. Like, I realized that actually I was responding without listening. I was responding like, ooh, I can't wait until it's my turn. So I had my water here. It's like, I'm like, can't wait until it's my turn, because I'm going to tell him some things. Versus listening so I could understand and see where he's coming from. And can I just say this? Like, guys, this could be our last podcast ever. If you get this, it won't be, but I'm just saying, everyone just wants to be loved and feel enough. So if you take a stand to offer that unconditional love to yourself, it will overflow to others immediately. Love is the answer, the key, the beginning and the end, the middle, the top, the bottom. It's love. It's not just, it became this frivolous word. I love my shoes. I love my water. Love is everything. Every tool that I have as whatever label you want to say, mentor, coach, music, voice, every tool that I have, every tool that we have, I'm there to say you too. It's tools that points back to love.
And what a great way to be able to end this podcast in love, so to speak, right? Because it's about who we are and understanding. But if we're going to put the emphasis of listening to others, it is vital and crucial that we listen to ourselves first. to be aware before we speak and process. And by listening to ourself, oh my gosh, Kenya, that's another podcast. Until next time, have a great week.
I love you so much.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Coached Soul, where we aim to empower and uplift you on your journey towards personal growth and well-being. Remember, as you navigate through life, you don't have to do it alone. We encourage you to reach out to professionals, seek support from loved ones, and take the time to prioritize your own well-being. Stay tuned for future episodes filled with even more valuable insights and actionable tips. Remember, you have the power to thrive. And with Coach at Soul by your side, anything is possible. Until next time, take care, stay empowered, and keep shining your brightest light. For more information, contact Kenya at kenyacoachedsoul.com.